The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Parky, you're back, baby.
I am. I was spreading the good word of rugby league.
Question.
Go on.
Yes or no? Did you watch the games in Iceland?
I watched the England and Australia game. I found BBC was actually being shown in Iceland.
So wow.
I found
that's
it.
Dedication.
And I must have been the only one in the bar that was shouting at the TV at the time.
Were the Icelandic people aware of what was going on?
They were a little bit bemused, I think, by my actions. But
Were any of them actually trying to watch it?
I tried to recruit a couple of them, to be honest, because they have tried playing rugby union there. So
why didn't you
to
do the Iceland clap that they did in the Euro? That would have been interesting.
I got a bit mixed up. They just thought I was watching the football for a moment when
right.
I started doing it.
Oh, so you did do it?
That sort of like sparked a bit of interest, actually, in the bar.
I bet you wish you'd gone whale watching after what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least John Keir's team can qualify, can't it? Wales.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking World Cup.
Ah, yes, I was.
We're talking Four Nations on what used to be the podcast, but because we're at the final stage where it's Australia and New Zealand in the final at Anfield, we've been given the drinks ban.
Yep,
we've got to be teetotal for this one.
Yep, so Adrian's there with his nice bottle of water.
I've got a nice bottle of water, not a beer in sight.
And I drank enough on my break, so I'm on a beer ban myself.
Yeah, I think the owners of loverubbly.com have said, listen guys, you've been in the pub too long, it's time to come back in. You've got to be fresh and ready for Anfield on Sunday.
I've got to be honest, it's very warm in the studio
as
well.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Bit quieter than what we're used to over
just
the last couple of weeks.
There's no clinking behind us.
No.
There's no rattling of keys. Or if you do hear anything, that's just my pockets.
Are you moaning?
Not moaning at all.
Must be the thing, because New Zealand were moaning quite a lot about their Workington experience.
Yeah, again, I don't see why they're moaning about it, to be fair. Derwent Park has hosted international games over the last two or three years.
Yeah, I've not been
it?
There since the World Cup. So there you go. They have improved it from where it used to be.
Yeah, they put brand new press facilities in, didn't they? They put brand new filming positions.
Liquor paint.
Liquor paint as well. I know that definitely they were.
That goes a long way, you know. Liquor paint.
They were tarting the place up.
Nice.
Most definitely. I just think that's just the New Zealanders being a bit funny, goody about
it. I did hear down in London on Sunday, a couple of the journalists were saying the New Zealand players were moaning about the hotel, because the only decent hotel in Workington is one called the George, the St. George. I'm not aware of it.
There is.
But apparently Scotland have beat them to the punch and already booked it, so they ended up in one journalist was told by a New Zealand player, as it was described, at a rubbish hotel in Kendal.
Oh, right. I thought Kendal was a lovely place. I know I've been there myself. I've not actually stopped overnight there, but even so.
But you can imagine some of the New Zealand players that have rocked up at the new look Derwent Park and gone, what on earth are we doing here?
Well,
the conditions are all of a sudden very windy, a very wintry feel about it on Friday, wasn't it? I watched the kickoff, they were struggling to get the ball on the kicking tees.
But you know what you're going to get, don't you? Every time you go up to Workington, you're going to be battling against a breeze.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about making the overseas players and teams uncomfortable within their surroundings. And someone made a very good comment in the press room ahead of the England and Australia game at the Olympic Park Stadium. Maybe they should have played that game up in the north as well. Intimidate your opposition.
I do think that you've got to make the most of your advantage, haven't you?
Yeah.
Because certainly when you take it to a place like Workington, it's going to be wet, it's going to be wild. And they're called test matches. They're meant to test every facet of your fitness, B, your mental ability, and C, just whether you can cope with local conditions. So,
whereas like with England, they play their game at a brand new looking stadium, and Australia have gone there and thought, oh, this is nice.
Hey, don't take it to jungle though. I don't want to go to Castleford. Last time I went there, I got splinters.
Maybe that's where we should have played. No, someone said to me we should have played at Elland Road, have a full house, massive atmosphere. That might have intimidated the green and golds a little bit.
Would we have got a sellout there?
I think we would have.
I don't know. I thought it was a half decent attendance though, 35,500.
They got 24 and a bit against New Zealand at Huddersfield, so I'm sure that they got the back end of 38,000 to 40,000 in Leeds for that one.
But even so, I thought, you know, it came across as quite a good atmosphere in London.
Great attendance at Workington, by the way. The Workington people certainly love Scotland having their games there.
They do.
It's like maybe they should move the border. down to Workington. And then we can say, listen, we've got games in Scotland now.
I'm not sure how many people who live in Workington would like to class themselves as Scottish, though.
Okay, then. Well, you should maybe play the game in Berwick.
In Berwick? Berwick upon Tweed? Yeah. Oh, yes.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, every time that Derwent Park has been asked to host a big game, they've done it really well, haven't
they?
The people have backed it.
They have.
It's created money.
Decent crowd. And what was a rubbish night weather-wise.
It was. It just shows that there isn't anything better to do on a rainy night in Cumbria than go watching the rugby league.
And for Steve McCormack's men, an unbeaten record stands at Workington.
Yes, they were very good in the World Cup, weren't they, there a couple of years ago. Was it Italy they beat?
They did.
Was it Italy up there? Yeah. And again, what a brave performance from them.
Unfortunately, we've got no audio from this game because our Sharabang never made it to Workington. You were in Iceland and I couldn't get there.
No. I mean, don't get me wrong, a couple of places in Iceland reminded me of Workington, but okay. that's another story entirely.
All right. Yeah, leave it at that.
But yeah, what a performance from Scotland. I thought it was so brave. I mean, they found themselves behind, didn't they, with about 5 minutes left.
They did,
and
yes.
Managed to fight their way back upfield, got an awesome try and... Well, I just think that they've arrived on the international stage. It's took them a little while to get up to the speed of it, hasn't
Steve McCormack did say after the game in Coventry, with more game time, the boys will get better. And you could see from even after the Australia game, when they were a bit cold at the start of it, and Australia looked like they were on for a record score in the first game. They slowly got better. They got better against England. It was only a lack of match fitness and some complimentary refereeing in England's favour that tipped it in England's way in the game at Coventry. But Steve McCormack was right. As the games came, Scotland got better.
They did, yeah. I mean, I suppose if you take just the first 25 minutes where they were chasing shadows against Australia, they've been very good in this tournament, haven't they? I thought that they pushed England all the way, despite England managing to put a few points on in the end there. And against New Zealand, I mean, to a man, they were excellent. So once again... Some big brave performances, particularly from the two centres. I thought Ewan Atkins and is it Kane Linnett also had big games. And then of course you got Matty Russell at the back of it, just clearing everything
I
up.
Thought Lewis Tierney had a decent game.
Lewis Tierney's really come on, actually.
Yes.
If you'd asked me 12 months ago, did I think that he'd A, be able to get in Wigan's team, and B, be able to perform on the international stage, I would have said no to both of them, and I would have been expecting him to probably be applying his trade up in Workington anyway, but maybe for Workington Town. But he's proved me wrong.
If he carries on improving like that, he might be getting a call from England.
Well, yeah, you never know. I think,
and you don't like that, do you?
I think there's a couple of them Scotland players I won't mind turning out for England. I mean,
Danny Brough.
Is there a better halfback in the UK at the moment than Danny Brough? No, there isn't.
Not at all.
There isn't.
Wayne Bennett made changes ahead of the Australia game, brought Kevin Brown in, and despite Kev trying his best, even he struggled.
He did, yeah. It was a bit of a mixed bag, wasn't it, from Kevin Brown. You could tell that he hadn't played properly for a few weeks. I think he only had a 15-minute spell against France, which was never going to be enough, in fairness.
Yeah.
And then he gets shunted in for the last game of the tournament.
Big ask, isn't it?
A big, massive ask, because against Australia, you've not only got to be at the peak of your game, if you're going
to
get the better of them.
You've got to be able to play for the full
80. You have, and he was blowing out of his proverbial, wasn't he after about 50 minutes, and that was unfortunate. And you know, unfortunately, he came up with a couple of mistakes. He wasn't the only one. In fact, if you ask me entirely, I think none of that back line impressed me on Sunday, other than Jermaine McGilvery.
Yeah, he played well, did Jermaine. He's a very brave and honest player. I like his style.
I like him as well. Yeah, he's really come on a bundle. And when you consider that he's had a bit of a heck of a season with Huddersfield, where he's been the main go-to man, I think he's done incredibly well this season. But yeah, as for the rest of them, I thought that they really did struggle. Okay, you could have looked at it at half time, 10-6, I think it was, wasn't it, in the Aussies' favour. And I suppose up until about 5 minutes before half time, you would have fancied England to actually go in front for the half, because I thought that they played the more constructive stuff, but they were on the back foot for much of the time, thanks to the great field kicking from the likes of Cooper Cronk and Jonathan Thurston. Second half, it was same old story, wasn't it? They blew themselves out in the first 10 minutes, England.
Yeah.
Didn't have much to get on the back of it, and Australia got on a real roll and managed to pile the points, and as they usually do. And it's always round about that hour time, isn't it, when the England effort every time against Australia, you're just hating it to get to the hour. If we could just stop time on like about 56 minutes and just call time on games, and we only played for 55 minutes
for
games,
some reason Australia always seem to produce their A game against England. I said to somebody on the press bench at the ground, have Australia gone all out for this because they want to rub Wayne Bennett's nose in it? Because everyone was saying before the game England might have a chance because Australia have already one qualified, two from a financial point of view, it's always best to have the home nation in the final rather than New Zealand.
Very much so, but
it wasn't the case, was it?
But I actually think that, yeah, they played really, really well, Australia, particularly at the start of the second half where they soaked up that final flurry from England, and then they hit back with ruthless efficiency. And I mean, they've got some fantastic finishes, haven't they? I mean, that try from Valentine Holmes was an absolute corker. I still don't know how he managed to get that down.
No, what
in the
a
corner.
Finish.
Superb. It's one of those. I think on the BBC, Jonathan Davis actually said that's a mantelpiece shot, that when he goes in and he scores.
Oh,
in
I
the
don't
corner.
Know. Blake Ferguson's finish was just as good as well.
It was.
It?
So, yeah. And how big is he?
Taller than me.
Has he been sat in a grow bag? Because he's about 6'4", 6'5". And you
well
thinking
taller than me.
He's
no.
a winger.
Yeah.
He's meant
scary.
To be. He's meant to be one of the little lads. And next thing you know, he's towering above his opposites in the England camp, isn't he?
I think at times though, a little bit easy for Australia, wasn't it? I mean, there was a situation there when England actually conceded a try where Australia went down the blind side from a scrum. That's amateur level of rugby league, never mind international.
You don't often see scrum players resulting in tries these days, do you?
Not down the blind side.
They did combine so brilliantly down that side. It was so easy in its simplicity, wasn't it? And I guess that's what you can say. They kept it simple where they had to, Australia. There's something really boring about Australian rugby in that they're so efficient in everything that they do, but they tend to strangle the opposition, don't they, to the
yeah.
point where they think, right, well, we've got to try and do something because we're not getting through by our usual means. And then as soon as that happens, they just then steamroll other sides. And they also used another short play, a short side play, didn't they, in the second half, where I think it was Cooper Cronk made the break and the centre Dugan went in.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, that was another fine movement, but again, so simple. And you're just thinking, they've just used numbers, just simply numbers, and they've just looked at where everything was.
Now, the usual questions were asked after the game is, are England, as in Super League, too far behind Australia? Are we falling further away rather than getting closer?
I would sooner say that the Australians are considerably better than us. They seem to find extra ways to move rugby league on, where what we tend to do is when we bring somebody over here to coach, they're not usually a top coach on the end of his game, are they? We've done well to get Wayne Bennett over here because he is still a top coach and he's still doing the tricks. But what we've got in the past is we've had a lot of assistant coaches coming in who tend to be showing maybe ways of doing things which are maybe 12 months out of date. So I think we're about 12 months, 18 months behind the Australians, always in everything that we do over here. I agree with what Wayne Bennett was saying, actually, about the strength of Super League, and I think he was quite critical, wasn't he, with the regards people.
He seemed to say, I mean, I was in the room, I'm not going to hear from him, but he did say the problem with some of the guys that were the England top, one, they don't believe how good they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, guys seem to switch off in games where you can get away with it in Super League, but not in the NRL. So he's kind of suggested the Australian players are more mentally tough and they don't switch off, whereas England guys might just switch off for a split second, but you get punished.
I would agree, and usually that's what's happened with regards to the Kiwis, but since they've managed to evolve, and because there's so many New Zealanders now playing in the NRL, that has certainly helped their game and helped their forwards be a lot more switched on at certain points. I do agree with him on that, but I also think as well that we try and play this Australian game plan, and the Aussies have it down to a T, so we don't offer anything different, and we need to concentrate on what we're good at, and basically that is ruck plays. We need to be very good around dummy half. I also get the feeling sometimes that playing for England doesn't seem to mean as much to our players as it does to other nations playing for their countries. For example, at the end of the game, they were all swapping shirts dead quick, weren't they?
Yes.
The England players.
I don't know why it was freezing.
I don't like that. That England jersey should be something that you cherish. Now, I know that I took a bit of stick on social media regarding this, but I still stand by the point that I'm making here in the fact that that England shirt has got to mean something to you.
Listen, right, you're that England playing Jonathan First and stood in front of you. Swap shirts.
No. You're acting like a fan. You're looking at it like a fan. You're a professional player. You should wear that shirt with pride. You should have that shirt with you all the time.
Get off. You're not having it.
Players can do what they want off the field. They can do what they want off the field when they're not in the full glare. But I'm sorry, but when they've lost by such a magnitude and they played as terribly as that in the second half, there shouldn't be any sort of niceties in swapping the shirts at the end of a game. That should be left to way after.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
It is the Final Hooter on Radio General and loverugby.com. It was a podcast, but we're in the studio. We're on a drinks ban.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got to be teetotal and ready and raring to go for the final showdown of the Four Nations at Anfield.
I've got my nice cup of Earl Grey waiting for me just outside the studio.
Without a doubt. So we're going to hear some audio from the official press conference. Our man Steve Manning doing the donkey work for us.
Excellent. Yeah. Well done, Steve, as per usual,
well done,
mate.
Steve. So we'll hear from Mr. Kidwell and Meninga and Jesse Bromwich and Cooper Cronk.
Why does he sound like Dennis Betts?
He does. Really? I think he does, yeah. He's an Australian, Dennis Betts.
See, you want to notice this, but Dennis Betts did a lot of the talking and the...
He did, I saw that, and I was expecting Dennis to come in and do the press conference, but it is Wayne who came in. Maybe he didn't fancy talking to the BBC after his fallout with Tanya Arnold last time.
Well, I don't know whether he fell out with her. He couldn't hear her interview, could he? I think that was half the problem, but yeah.
I tell you what I'm not a fan of,
go on,
by the way.
Interviewing
him on the field and trying to funnel the sound through the speakers in the stadium, you can't hear a thing.
No, you can't, and that's just at the time when everybody who's got naffed off at the performance is leaving and they're causing a commotion as well, aren't they?
Yeah,
generally.
Without a doubt. Not a fan of that.
No, I have to admit. And I tell you what I don't like as well, half time interviews. You know, with people coming off the field, just let them get in and get the words of the coach.
Yeah. Again, but you can't hear it because you're more concerned about running for the toilet and getting a half time cup of tea, not bothered about what Sam Burgess is going to say or Cooper Cronk or Jonathan First.
I think you're obsessed with Cooper Cronk. How many times?
Cooper Cronk.
When we reflect on post-season, like it's coming up in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to go through about how many times during these podcasts you've mentioned Cooper Cronk, because I think you've got a secret man crush.
I must have, because he came out in the mix zone and I got myself in the huddle, right in front of him. Shook his hand, said, "Well done, mate," and then spent the entire rest of the interview just looking at his legs.
Oh, gosh.
And I don't know why.
He had nice
legs.
This sounds terrible, mate.
Right, moving away from that, let's get some reaction for the England boys, shall we? And we'll hear from Callum Watkins. Callum Watkins, it showed today. It was a tough day at the office for the boys.
Yeah, disappointed. Disappointed with the result, and at times we beat ourselves up a little bit, and you know, they gathered a lot of momentum, especially in the second half. It was a huge turning point in that, you know, Sam nearly got over and, you know, they went down the other end and scored. So, you know, we're disappointed, but, you know, it's been a great camp. It's been a great camp in terms of getting ourselves all together, and Wayne's been great for us. So, you know, just got to focus on next year now.
Despite the result today, some youngsters out there would have learnt a lot from that.
Yeah, it's a huge experience for, you know, a lot of young players in this team coming in for the first time, and you know, you want to play against the best, you want to play against the world class opposition, and you know, you've got things that you need to bring up and learn from. So it's been an enjoyable experience.
Is that a problem with the club game or just the international setup for England?
No, I think, you know, the international setup is great. I think you know, we've needed to improve, and I think the past few years we've done that, and we've been so close to beating these teams, and I think it's just finding that little key area. I don't know what it is, but finding them little things to be clinical at times and doing the right stuff and being smart. And I think at times we weren't like that, you know, in these games, and especially in the New Zealand game as well.
You say Australia always seem to find their A game when they come up against England, don't they?
Yeah, they're a good team, man. They're a good team, and I think they're clinical in what they do, and keep all of the ball, you know, pretty well and well disciplined. So, you know, things to learn from, things to take on board. But, you know, we've got to move on quickly and, you know, take on the positives.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
To be fair to Callum Watkins, is right, there are a few positives to take from that defeat. I mean, the tournament as a whole, it introduced a whole raft of new, younger guys who've got a taste of International Rugby League on the big stage. That's a positive.
Go on, carry on. I'm not quite feeling the positive vibe.
Johnny Lomax, he played okay. Jermaine McGilvery gets better every time he pulls that England shirt.
Hang on, Jermaine McGilvery's 28 years old. You'd be expecting him to be pushing.
But as an international, though, he's a youngster.
Well, yeah, you are right regarding that. And, you know, he is one of the few backs for England that has come through this
Johnny
series.
Johnny Lomax has been okay at full-back.
He's done all right. Yeah, yeah. And I suppose as well, the other thing that we can keep into mind, keeping up the positives here,
yeah,
the way that he's fought back from his injury, which he had for St. Helens, which would have probably curtailed many players. I mean, he's had some terrible luck, hasn't he?
I mean, young Percy got a run out. He seemed to do okay.
He did. I thought he was overawed first half, but second half stuck in.
First game, you got all them lot in front of you.
Well, second game.
That's his second game.
Played last week, didn't he?
He did, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he got overawed against Scotland as
he
well.
He did, yeah.
No, he did all right, actually. But no, I thought that he did chuck himself about as much as he could, did Percy. So, you know, maybe there's a bit of hope there. But our backs just need to be more clinical, don't they? Does that not just frustrate you? Do you not feel so frustrated with how England play? Because they create stuff, they get the overlaps, the ball whizzes out to the likes of Watkins and Percival, and then they drop the thing. And that was just so frustrating. And I just sort of wonder sometimes when you look at those games, the Aussies don't seem to put those chances down in the same sort of areas as what England does. And that's the worry, in fairness. And I just get the impression that, you know, Wayne Bennett was quite right when he was saying regarding that. I suppose if you want to take positives from this whole tournament, though, 35,000 people in London watching a game.
Yeah.
21,000 in the Midlands watching a game.
Yes.
Sellout at Huddersfield.
It's 6,500 the sellout at Workington, I think it is. It's up there, isn't it?
You're not going to be far off capacity there. I think the capacity is about 7,200, actually, but, you know, it's still you're only about 600 short there, so...
Not bad.
Fair enough.
Possibly could get about 40,000 for the final at Anfield.
Which would be good.
Would have been a sellout if England would have got there, I'm sure, but, you know, 40, not bad.
Yeah. So... I think I've done to death the worries.
Now, big question.
Go on.
Is Bennett the man?
Yes.
He's the man.
I still believe that he's the man. I just think that he's not got a lot to work with in Furness, has he, from the back line point of view.
So that'll mean that the pressure's going to be on ahead of the World Cup to maybe raid the NRL.
No.
Sam Burgess is not a fan of it.
He
told an Aussie journalist exactly that.
I wouldn't raid the NRL, but I would be looking for maybe if there's one or two
Birth
players.
Of origin, is that what they call it?
Yeah, if there's one or two players that could boost that squad, then, you know, you've got to look at it. Obviously, see who steps up next season in Super League. There's a couple of players that are going to be.
Well, that's got to be the challenge, hasn't it? Super League needs to start looking after our own rather than raiding Australia to fill the gaps.
But I think you raised a good point when we were talking about Scotland before, when you said that really they come into this series with no preparation behind them,
haven't
they? They've not really played anybody.
No.
And the good thing is that Wayne Bennett has also, he started to bring this preparation in, hasn't he? Because he's getting them all for a pre-season workout, isn't he, of his England squad. And then the other thing as well is that he's also got an international arranged for sometime in May with Samoa. So, interestingly enough, we are going to see that sort of preparation, which international game has been craving over here. And I just think that, I hope that we don't just end up doing this as a one-off and that we start playing the Pacific Nations a lot more, because I think that we can boost them and they can boost us as well.
Bring it on, that's what I say. More internationals the better.
Definitely, yeah. We just need space in the calendar now.
Just one more game to play before the season finishes finally. It's been a long old season, hasn't it?
I'm getting shattered and I've been away for a week.
You've been in Iceland.
I know. I've got it set up as well. Reykjavik Raiders are on the way.
What a thought that'll be. League One.
Well, if Toronto can do it.
Why not?
Why not, indeed.
Scurrily, even though the season's not quite finished, some of the guys are already in pre-season for the forthcoming season.
Yeah, I've seen Lee Centurion's return
Super
to training.
League and in the Championship.
Yeah, I think Featherstone have gone back into training again. And I think Salford are back in full training as well.
Are we having an off-season and come back in for pre-season?
I think we are, yeah. I'm not quite sure what pre-season will look like yet for the final hooter, but I'll put something together and I'll send you my thoughts.
Listen, before we do that, we need to sort out Mad Monday after Sunday.
Oh yeah, definitely. We're going to have one.
Let's get some reaction from the Aussies, not just about the England game, but ahead of the big match against New Zealand in the final. Here's Cooper Cronk.
Well, Cooper Cronk of Australia, congratulations on your match-winning Man of the Match performance against England on the weekend.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a good performance by the group. I thought as this competition goes on, I think we've improved each and every week, and it was a pretty good performance overall from us against England, and I think England played really well too, so I think we get a lot of confidence out of that. But for us to be successful on Sunday night afternoon, I think we're going to have to go to another level.
And like you say, you've got better and better, and it's fitting, even though I'm English, it's fitting that it's the number one nation, that at the moment it's New Zealand against Australia, so that you can try and get that back and also pick up the trophy you've not won for a few years.
Yeah, look, I think they're the outcomes, and they're all the things that we want to achieve and be a part of. But for that to happen, I think we need to narrow our focus and focus on, you know, the skills of the game and our training standards, because at the end of the day, we all want to be successful. We all want to get our hands on the trophy, but that won't happen unless we do the right things that it takes to win the football game. And that's about defence, it's about our attacking lines, it's about our kicking game. So we'll focus on the skills of rugby league, and hopefully those things you just spoke about are result of us doing the process right.
Rightly or wrongly, I think you're going to this final as favourites, with having turned them over a couple of weeks ago and then the friendly and the Anzac test. Is that how you see it, or do you just walk away from that and focus on what's coming from minute 1 to 80?
Yeah, I think you do. You wipe the form lines away, and they're out the window as such. You know, obviously New Zealand played Scotland last week, and you know, they would admit that it wasn't their best performance, but we'll be preparing as if New Zealand are going to play their best football on Sunday afternoon. I think the two teams have elite players across the pitch, and when you play on a big stage, I think the best players, you know, tend to rise another level. So that's what International Rugby League is about. It's about being the best players, the best teams against one another, playing off for a trophy in a pretty iconic venue that the world knows.
It's going to be a great day, and it sounds like cleared his throat there, Cooper Cronk.
Well, he didn't sound anything like your impression anyway.
Yes, I mean, your interview with him after games is very, very...
Well, I'm not surprised. He's been shouting at his teammates for 18
minutes. That's probably what it is, but he sounded pretty fresh there with Steve Manning today.
He was. He was very fresh, wasn't he? Good to hear from him, and I think he's raised some pertinent points there, because ultimately, New Zealand's still classed as the number one nation in the world of rugby league, and, the Australians, I think they will be heavily fancied because of the way that they've performed, not only in this tournament, but probably over the last 12 months from an international standpoint. And, well, I just think it's going to be some great occasion, isn't it, down at Anfield?
If New Zealand can produce their A game, they've not shown it yet, have they? They scraped a win against England, weren't that great against Scotland. So they need to produce their best game, and they are going to beat this Australian team.
They've been a bit patchy, haven't they, to be fair?
They have. But a lot will depend on Johnson. Can he get the better first?
Yeah, and I also think as well, there's one or two others. You know, you've got the likes of Adam Blair and Jesse Bromwich in the pack,
yes,
haven't you? You've got Topo, and looking what he can bring off the bench. You know, is he going to come up with the type of impact?
Could
that
be
he
a showdown for the wingers as well, couldn't it? Rapana versus Ferguson or Valentine.
Yeah, I mean, I do get the feeling that, yeah, there's matchups all over the place, isn't there, that could be rather interesting.
Let's hear from the New Zealand captain, shall we, as Steve Manning caught up with Jesse Bromwich.
Well, Jesse Bromwich, the New Zealand skipper, I know it sounds daft, don't take this the wrong way. Did you send a text of thanks to Australia for turning England over on Sunday?
I actually didn't do that, but yeah, I was thinking about sending them a good luck text before the game.
But that opportunity now, it gives you the chance perhaps to right the wrongs of the defeat a couple of weeks ago and the two defeats earlier in the season in the friendly and the Anzac game.
Yeah, it gives us another opportunity to get one over them. You know, they've been very successful over us for the last couple of games, and you know, it hurts us deep down, so hopefully we can put in a good performance and give them one.
And you came so near yet so close in the last closing minutes of the game at the Rico, when Sean Johnson had a slight chance, yeah, but they stopped him.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing with Australia. They're very ruthless like that. But, you know, we've improved a lot since our Perth game. We've come a long way. And we almost won the game the last time we played them. So hopefully we can keep improving and we get this one.
And fittingly, even though I'm English, it is fitting that it's the first-ranked side yourselves against the second-ranked side, and you're defending your title here at Anfield, a fantastic stadium.
Oh, awesome stadium. Absolute honour to play here. You know, it's one of the reasons why you play the game, to play at the best stadiums, and this is definitely one of the best ones I've been to, so it'll be one of the best ones I've played at, I dare say.
You know what?
Go on.
All I've heard for 3 weeks is Perth.
Do you reckon that?
Perth, 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 Perth. From New Zealand players, Australian players, coaches, journalists. It must have been a heck of a game.
Must have been.
Because it sounds like, all right, New Zealand lost it. They're still traumatised by it. Get over it.
That was 6 weeks ago.
Exactly.
Wasn't it? They got to move on.
Since there's Four Nations of her stars, they've heard that every press conference.
Listen, we've not got over 82 yet, though, so we can't talk.
No, of course, yes. What am I on about? That's so, Steve Manning getting Jesse Bromwich. But again, I just heard the Perth comment again. I'm thinking, I've heard this from day one.
Hang on, you sound like you're getting on your soapbox now. I am. Similar to
Sorry.
Me and the shirt swapping.
Yeah. Yeah. Must have been a good match, though.
I wish I'd seen it, and I wish I could offer some comment.
I take it Australia won the game.
I think Australia won it convincingly, yeah. To be honest. I think it was something like 26-6 or 26-4. So,
because even in Mal Meninga's press conference after the England game, yeah. Someone asked him, do you think the game against Perth will come into the equation for the game at Anfield? I might put it away, will you?
Well, sometimes people just can't let it go, can they? They've got to go through, they've got to try and get as much information as they can. And obviously they felt it was a real turning point in Perth. Now, whether that was because the Australians were so good on the day and New Zealand didn't perform, it was a heck of a lot closer in Coventry, wasn't it, between the two nations? And I dare say, if the Kiwis can bring their A game, then Australia are in for a heck of a tussle, aren't they, on Sunday?
New Zealand are the holders. They'd like to keep their hands on that Four Nations Cup, won't they? As Steve Manning caught up with Dave Kidwell, and I want to see whether he mentions Perth. Let's see.
Well, David Kidwell, the New Zealand head coach, your thoughts going into this final on Sunday at Anfield in Liverpool?
Yeah, it's a pretty special ground, isn't it? And hopefully there's going to be a big crowd there.
Solid job last week.
And, you know, we've got to bring our A game on Sunday. And Australia tend to start fast, and they've started faster than us than in the last couple of games we've played them. So we really need to have a good start, and then, you know, hopefully carry on with the contest over the 80 minutes.
Do you feel, obviously, because you've played them three times so far this year, that you owe them one? I mean, you were probably inches just short of getting a draw here in the 14-8 defeat.
Yeah. We're trying to improve each time we play. But we don't get another opportunity after this. So we really got to be nailing everything in our preparation, training, and transferring it to the game.
And you are older, you're still number one, and so as much as anything, you've got two titles there on the whole, because if Australia should get the wood over you, I would think that they would knock you off that top perch.
Yeah, it's the first I've heard about that. So
I think, I don't know how it works, I'm just thinking how the results have gone this year.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, we're concentrating on the game and we want to win.
And are you likely to make any changes? Or obviously Thomas Lely's injured, isn't he? So have you got anybody in mind at this moment in time?
Yeah, we've got a couple in mind. Like I said in the press conference, you know, we've got to look at training. We've got 2 days of important training coming up, and there's a couple of people there that can do the job. And we'll have full confidence in them to do the job, and, you know, we'll back our 17 that we pick come Sunday.
Will they be good enough to win, though?
Again, I know it sounds really, really cliched, but it's all about how they start the game, isn't it? They've got to start, I think Dave Kidwell actually mentioned it there, didn't he, about nailing everything. Now, what he's recording to there is actually completion rates, making sure that they get themselves in the right positions to affect the plays that they need to at the right times, so they've got to get the kicking game going. Because other than the first game against England, they've not really got the kicking game going yet in this whole international series, have they? So they need to really step that up, because one thing the Australians have been great at he's getting the field position and dominating.
I thought Steve was going to mention Perth, but he never.
He didn't. He did well though, didn't he?
Did well. Thank you. Oh, they've been having another Perth rant.
I know. Thank goodness for that. You've saved us, Steve. You've saved us.
Let's hear from King Mal. Mal Meninga.
Well, Mal, before we talk about the final, congratulations on reaching the final, defeat in England, unfortunately, from our point of view. But you're 3 from 3.
Yeah, no, you know, really, really happy for the team. You know, they worked really hard. We've set some goals and we've achieved them so far. So, but, you know, it's nice to be here. That's stage one of the goals, and obviously we still want to come out and play really well in front of hopefully would be a huge audience on an iconic field like Anfield, you know. So it's just a pleasure to be here. It's, I know the players are really excited about coming and playing.
And from your point of view, being an ex-Saint, and we do broadcast to our Centelli supporters, yeah. The fact that obviously in a different Anfield, you came watching them as well.
Oh, way back, yeah, I did. Now, I've always been a Liverpool fan. There's no, even before I come play for St Helens, so I used to watch them, you know, all the time. So, and Craig Johnson got me, engrossed in as well when he came over here. So, it's. I never thought. I mean, I'd love to have played here. You know, it would have been fantastic, and had the opportunity to play in a few, like Wembley and Old Trafford and Elland Road. You know, with the Leeds. This is the place to be.
And so, talk about the game itself. It's New Zealand, still number one, the holders of the comp. You're two at the moment. I don't know how it works if you beat them, but if you beat them 3 times this year, you've got to be top dogs again. But it's fitting that it is first against second, isn't it?
It is. It's the two best rugby league teams at the moment, you know. But I thought England were very competitive through the tournament, and you know, we played really well on the weekend, and they hung in there really well, I thought. But having the best two teams play the Four Nations over here, it'd be a great spectacle. You know, hopefully, the teams we pulled apart, and we can play the football or the rugby league that we know we can.
What have you got to do to beat New Zealand? I know it's a simple question, but it's not a simple answer, is it?
No, it's not. No, it's most things we do in life is all made up of little things, you know. So if we do get all those little things done right, you know, to a man, and that all equals hopefully a really good performance. So, you know, we've still got to do, come with the right effort, right attitudes, right commitments. We've certainly got the players to take advantage of that, you know, great commitment. And if we can do that, we can be successful. So, but a bit of hard work to do with our preparation. We can do that work really well. Well, then, you know, we'll give ourselves a good chance of winning.
My word, they'll give themselves a good chance of winning. A massive chance of winning if they do what he's just said.
See, I mean, like, he's so humble, isn't he, Mal Meninga, when you hear him? And he talks the game down, but talks it up in so many other ways, doesn't he? Just a quick note here, Mr. Manning, you know, don't just have to be a St. Helens fan to listen
exactly.
to us, you know.
We broadcast his podcast to everybody within the world of rugby league.
We have a wide church. We'll even accept Hull Kingston Rovers fans.
And Lee,
yeah, especially Lathus.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm just wondering, all these interviews where he was on about England, did he do it in an England top any chance?
He sounded gutted when he was asking his first question to Big Mal.
He did, didn't he? Oh. He did. Thank you very much to Steve Mann and catching up with those guys. Who's going to win it?
I hate to say it, but Australia. I can't see past them.
I can't.
I think they're going to win by 20 points as well.
Really?
I am really convinced that this is a great Australian team, especially when you put in mind the fellas that they've got in the middle controlling everything. I mean, Thurston, brilliant player. Kronk, brilliant player.
Cameron Smith.
He's out of this world. Yeah. Oh, he's not just world class, he's universe class. He's brilliant.
What are they going to do when them three retire, though? They're all in the 30s.
They're all getting on, aren't they? But
we said that when they lost Lockyer. What are they going to do when King Lockyer went? King Wally.
We've been saying that since Wally Lewis packed in, haven't we? We said that when Big Mal retired.
Exactly. Oh,
they'll never be able to
replace him. We'll beat him.
20 years later, they've got Greg Inglis there, haven't they? You know, so
and he's 29.
They've just got so many other players coming through the ranks, haven't they, that equally all look like they can step up.
Scary, isn't it?
If they're struggling, they can go and pinch them off other nations. That's what they've done in the past with Fijians and various others, haven't they? But don't get me started on that one, Adrian, please. So it's all lining up to be an interesting final, though. But I can't get past what my heart is saying. My heart actually feels that it's going to be an Australia win, convincing.
You think so?
Yep.
You don't know. I don't know. You know, I mean, New Zealand didn't play particularly great in the showdown against Australia in Coventry, but they nearly snatched the draw. So a lot will depend on the likes of Sean Johnson and the likes of Jesse Bromwich to lead the line and take on those big Aussie guys.
It will, but I just can't. I can't see past this Australian team. I just think that they're so complete in all the positions, aren't they? And I'm not going to waver from what I've just said there, Adrian. I'm convinced it's going to be a convincing Australia performance.
The game's at Anfield, so I'm expecting a bowl of scouts in the media room on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Some red cabbage and some nice bread to dip in.
I never asked you, did I? Because I've been asking you about all these pre-match meals that you served as part of a media over these last few weeks. What did you get at London?
What did we get at London?
Jelly deals?
No, peri-peri chicken and wedges.
Oh, right, okay. So
very nice.
They went for something a bit hot and spicy.
Yeah, bit of salad.
Which offered a bit more resistance.
I noticed Andrew Henderson, get this for a range of food on one plate. He had a salad.
Yeah.
With like tomatoes and lettuce and onions and whatever. Then his wedges.
Right.
Chicken. And had this peri-peri sauce all over it.
Oh, there you
lovely.
Go.
Lovely. And a nice big blob of coleslaw as well.
So any other media revelations here? You know, what was Dave Woods having?
Don't know. Didn't see what he was eating. Probably the same.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
You did catch up with him, though,
didn't you? Catch up with him there. We're going to leave the final thoughts of this particular podcast, as me and Dave Wood talked about the forthcoming Four Nations final between, and they said Leeds Rhinos and Wigan then. No, it wasn't. It was New Zealand and Australia. If Four Nations has reached the final, best two teams in the world at Anfield, what a game that's going
to
be.
Well, I think certainly the best team in the world in Australia, who've got the chance to reclaim that official number one spot. I think we'd all have them as the best team anyway, but officially it will be theirs if they win, and they'll have all the prizes again. They came in as world champions, and they'll get their Four Nations title back, unless New Zealand can come up with something very, very special. So hopefully it's going to be a really good final.
Both teams going into it in good form as well.
Less so the Kiwis. They scraped a win against England, of course. You could say they were a little unlucky against Australia. They hung on in there, might have had that late try through Johnson, all the rest of it. But I mean, their attitude was terrible against Scotland, wasn't it? Great for the Scots and fantastic. But I think the Kiwis will look at themselves and say, we've got to improve a millionfold if we're going to give the Australians a game. A lot of key players in there have got to step up. You know, Sean Johnson, we know how good he is, but he has to produce it, you know, on a consistent level over 80 minutes. Isaac Luke, you know, the big forwards, Jesse Bromwich, the other big fellas in there as well, have really got to front up and try and give Australia a game.
Based on that then, the way Australia played against England, if New Zealand produced their best game, we're in for a cracking final.
Yeah, hopefully. I think, you know, we've got to look at the Australian team at the moment and say they are just absolutely fantastic. You know, I mean, it's boring to keep saying it, but Cameron Smith, Jonathan Thurston, Cooper Cronk, you know, that Queensland triumvirate, you know, a couple of them play together at Melbourne. They've all been playing together for Australia for so long, and they are world-class players in key positions. And they're so good. They are just so good. So I think Australia possibly need to be off a little bit, and the Kiwis have to be right on their game, absolutely right on their game.
Been some great memories at Anfield in terms of football. Hopefully Rugby League can post one in the final.
Yeah, one or two Rugby League memories at Anfield down the years as well. I think I seem to remember St Helens playing a game there on the road, and there was a World Club Challenge game there as well, wasn't there? So, but it's a new stadium. You know, I mean, it's a great place for Rugby League fans who maybe haven't been to go and sample the atmosphere there, because the extended stand is massive now. You know, hopefully a big crowd in there will make it a really good occasion that you get the chance to see two of the world's best teams in a fantastic setting, and you know, who wouldn't want to go?
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Keep in touch via Twitter. Just follow at Radio General WHR.
Your feel better station.
Radio General. Find out more. Go to radiogeneral.co.uk.
This is
Warrington Hospital's Feel Better Station.
Radio General.